Welcome to the Arise and Shine podcast, part of the teaching ministry of Pastor Festus Nsoha of Oasis Church and Holy Ghost End Time Ministries International. As it says in Isaiah 60 verse 1, arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of God shines over you. It is our hope and desire that through this podcast you'll be encouraged and experience the transforming power of God's Word. Be blessed.
Arise and shine, for your light is come and the glory of the living God is upon you today. I pray that this message today bring light and hope and strength to you anywhere you are. Even if you are lonely, there are nobody with you. Even if you are in pain or distressed or troubled. Even if you're a single mother, you can hardly have food for your children. Even if you are just there and wondering, how do I meet my practical need? Or heavily indebted, and you're wondering, where would the money come for me to pay my bills? I am believing God today that through this message, God will shine light in your heart and mind and show you the way out of whatever trouble you are in today. And I pray that today that God will meet you and there'll be an anointing that fall upon your head today. You have a clarity in your mind, in your thinking, and you will know which way to go. And Father, I pray today for a special anointing upon the audience today, anywhere they are. I pray your blessings and your presence to rest upon everyone watching. Every cloud, every shadow, every fear, every anxiety and nervousness and restlessness be broken over their lives to their Father, that they might hear your voice and receive direction and instruction in whatever now they are in need of. Thank you, dear Father, for your mighty arm of providence today upon everyone watching, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. Praise God again, I say. Welcome to Arise and Shine right here from the city of Prague in Czech Republic, right here in Oasis Church. If you happen to be in Prague, go ahead, go online and find us out there. All the info is there on the screen. Also, you can, you know, write for and apply for our magazines. You can have our Majesty magazine. All the info is there on the screen. How you can watch us, how you can, on television, in different times of our schedule, our magazines, media ministry, travels, conferences, crusades, whatever. You can all get that online. And I want to share something today that I believe is very dear to my heart, and I believe is dear in the heart of God. Here we see, talking about it, the mystery of the will of God. And let's use one particular person today to really look into and dig deep into the mystery of the will of God. Because all we are doing on earth is God, through and in and by Christ, revealing to us and making known to us, making manifest to us the mystery of his will. Chapter 22 of the book of Acts, we see the story of Paul here in defense when he was called to really testify before kings, before many people. And then he had a chance to testify to them who he used to be, what happened to him, how come he become now a preacher and a witness for Christ. How come he can become a person that was willing and was ready to die for Jesus Christ, the very person he totally, completely before hated and sought to destroy his name from the face of the earth. May the Lord give you today understanding in Jesus' name. And look at Paul now in his defense. In the book of Acts chapter 22, he says, men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he said, I am very a man which am a Jew, from born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city, which is in Jerusalem, at the feet of Gamaliel, which was a very powerful lawyer then, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God as you all are this day. Here he was gathered here by a religious mob who was about to stone him and kill him to death because they think he was doing something against their God and against their religion. So he's telling them, listen, I used to be like you. I once did exactly what you are doing. I didn't fall from the sky. I was like a youth, fanatical, zealous for my religion, for my God, for my nation. I would kill for God, in the name of my God. I would kill for our religion. I would kill for our nation. So you are now trying to stone a person who was exactly like you before. So let's continue there. And I persecuted this way, which the Christian way, unto death. I mean, I binding and delivering into prison both men and women. I mean, he was binding and stoning and killing Christians. If you are out there today and you hate Christians, and you hate the church, and you hate Christianity, and you hate our God, what we stand for, some of us were like you before. We saw a preacher say, you criminals, all you thieves. No, it's all money. It's all about money. We did the same. Many of us did the same thing. Why? We were blind like you. Sorry to say that, but that's a fact. We were exactly like you. It's all nonsense. Oh, there's no God. I don't believe in God. I was preaching there years ago in Slovakia, and a young girl was walking around the place in the university. I don't believe in God. It's all manipulation. It's all nonsense. I said, lady, can you then leave the room? Let me talk to those who want to listen to me. Just feel very free. Go. I'm not forcing you to be a Christian. Who cares? Just go to another room. Let me just talk to those who want to listen to. I don't know. She was just walking around disturbing. I said, please, can you just go, please? These people are waiting for me to talk. Why are you walking around here and creating this noise? She was just saying, it's all manipulation, it's all lies. I said, can you let me just touch you a little bit? That may help answer your questions. She said, what is that? Touch me? Here it is, touch me. Before I get my hand, I hear him crumble on the ground. And he starts screaming and crying. I believe. I mean, she broke down in tears. No, you may not understand. There's a demonic spirit that binds and blinds the minds of humans. Please understand that. I'm telling all of us, we're like that. That veil have to go out of your eyes. And you can say, what? What? Look at Saul of Tarsus, a very decent, educated lawyer. He was raised up by the best lawyer in the country at that time. Intelligent, smart, zealous for his God and religion and nation. He was a religious nationalist. If you don't believe what we believe, we kill you. You are sinning against God. And he said to them, I was persecuting these Christians unto death, binding, delivering them into prison, both men and women. As also the high priest doth bear me witness. I mean, the high priests who we are licensing him, who is authorizing him to empower him, say, go get them, go kill them, go cause them to blaspheme, go put them in prison, stop this way, kill this Christian, butcher them. They were licensing him because they saw the truth of Jesus Christ a threat to their established religious organizations. And it is such a dangerous thing when truth become an enemy of religion and religion become an enemy of the truth, where the only way you can defend your structure and doctrine and dogma is to silence the voice of truth. The so-called God you think you are serving, here is his word presented in a very simple way, unmixed with politics, unmixed with tribalism and racism and nationalism and mammon and everything in between. No, just simple truth of Christ saving souls that sets people free. We've met religion and this is so mixed up that to even quote the verse in the Bible now is a problem. We have, you know, kind of structured the church religion until truth has no more space in it. So Paul said, you high priest, you know me. You gave me power to go kill those Christians. You know who I am. I used to be your toy, your tool. Okay? He says, also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estates of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. He was licensed here. He was given a gang of men to go find Christians, harass them, kill them, cause them to blaspheme, put them in prison. That was his job, and he was licensed. Hallelujah. And verse 6, he said, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus, about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. You see, salvation, to come to know Jesus Christ, the light of heaven, the divine illumination of the gospel, God's word must shine in your heart. You don't get it any other way. It is not by theology. It's not by religion. It's not by morality. It is by the light of Christ shining in your heart. It may not happen, you know, like happened to Paul in a very spectacular way. but it must be inner light, the light of Christ shining in your heart. Chapter 4, 2 Corinthians says, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined where? In our heart. You can read this Bible for 20 years, don't see nothing inside. It doesn't change you. It doesn't make any difference in you. You can be priest and bishop and pope. You can be anybody, religious. But the light of Christ have never illumined your heart. Man sank into darkness when sin came into his heart. The real man, the human spirit, fell into darkness. Christ have to shine that light in your heart. The light of the gospel by the power of the Holy Ghost must illumine. And it's the resurrection. That's why he calls it being born again. He being born again. I was blind. Now I can see. The light. Come on. I've been Christian all my life. I'm even a preacher. Come on, never see it. How come I never got any kind of conviction of my sin? Now, I just do my normal religious duties. Nothing changes me. There's no light. All you have is your box, your brain box, to reason and argue and quote and curse and fight to defend what you think and what you believe. You can be zealous in the darkness. Saul of Tarsus was zealous with that religious light he had, but that was a false light. And that false light will turn you against the true light. And many innocent people today bound up in religious and church organizations, totally religious. My mom was a member here. My father was a member here. This is where all of us grow. Well, you're going to meet together in hell then. Sincerely, nicely, this Saul of Tarsus was not a wicked man in a sense, but he was fanatical and zealous for what he think was the true light. Because God appeared to Moses, we have the law. What else? What else? If anybody doesn't say this, we... And he's blinded by the light, by the blindness of darkness. You know, you can be so blinded by hatred, by bitterness, by resentment, by unforgiveness, by racism, by tribalism, by religion, by that superior person, I'm holier than everybody else. It can become a blindness where you no more see. We must cry to God, say, God, please set me free from every form of blindness. The blindness of tradition and culture, of sin and rebellion and stubbornness can blind you that you can think you are the only one right. And you never see Jesus Christ as he really is. And in that zeal, you can even hurt and kill anyone, justifying your actions. After all, you have the seal of religion behind you. Here was Saul of Tarsus. He said, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come near unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. I pray for you today. That the light, the great light, the Bible says that Christ, this is the true light that lighten every man that cometh into the world. When he says the true light, that means there are also false lights. The devil is now transforming himself into an angel of light to trick and to deceive people, to keep them away from the genuine gospel of Jesus Christ. And the devil creates religions and indoctrinations and all these cultic things. People think that they are expressing a light. It's a false light. If it's not Christ's light, it's the false light. The devil wants to keep you from the true light of the gospel, where you don't need to repent. Just be good, be nice. And you think, I'm religious, I'm chugging to church. I don't need any church. It's not about church. It's about Christ in your heart. It's about you being born again, becoming a new creation, having a new heart and a new life. Who cares where you go to church? I don't care. All I want is to see you saved, to see you born again, to see the light of Christ shine in your heart and turn into a different man. So you can be like, instead of Saul, you become Paul. Hallelujah. And I fell onto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth. I love that. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Who are you, Lord? You can be religious, you can be in church all your life and be nice, good person, but you don't know who Jesus Christ really he is. He's not been revealed to you by the light of his presence, by the light of his word. You've been nibbling on religion and letters and word and tradition and history, even on the Bible, nibbling with your own idea, intelligence, and seeing the Bible through the eyeglass of your doctrine, of your church, and your tradition, and your whatever. That's when you want to read that Bible, you put your religious eyeglass on and then see the Bible. And see it through the light of the Holy Spirit. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus of Nazareth. Won't you be wonderfully happy today when the Lord Jesus Christ himself introduced himself to you by himself? Through this word I'm preaching to you today, the Lord Jesus Christ can personally introduce himself to you. He did that for me in 1985, September 7th, 9 p.m. in the night. And I was totally changed when Christ Jesus, because salvation is so personal. It's not a family thing. Nobody can be saved for you. You cannot say, oh, my family. There must be that personal revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Jesus said that no one knows the Son but the Father. No one knows the Father but the Son. Unless Christ reveals himself to you, you will never know him. So can you spread this prayer right now with me? Say, Lord Jesus, I humbly ask you, please reveal yourself to me in the most intimate and genuine way that will bring a total transformation in my life. Ooh, I love that. I love that. And I'm telling you, he will do it. He has been waiting for this moment. Lord, I thought I knew you. But Lord, I want to know you more. I want to know you better. Who can introduce you to me than you yourself? The Son of God has come and has opened our eyes that we might know him who is true. I pray for you today that Christ himself might open your eyes to know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, even in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Won't you pray right now? Even if you're an agnostic, an atheist, you don't believe there's God, you don't care about nothing, can you say, just, I mean, in your room, I'm not seeing you, okay? Don't be afraid, I'm not seeing you, okay? But just say, Lord Jesus, if you are God, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Savior of mankind, please, I humbly ask you to reveal yourself to me in a personal way. If you are sincere, he will make a way. And he will, I'm telling you the truth, he desperately wants you saved, wants you snatched out of the claws of death and darkness and blindness. He loves you with every fiber of his being. He does not want you to die and go to hell. Will you humble yourself? Who are you, Lord? Lord Jesus, I don't know you. Please, can you introduce yourself to me? I want to know you. Help me. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I love that. I pray for you that miracle happen to your heart. That you no more say, my church said this, my bishop said that, my pope said this, they told me about Jesus, they said this, so. No, but you cannot have a personal revelation of who Jesus Christ is. That's where salvation comes. When that happens to you, nobody can talk you out of it. No devil in hell can talk you out of it. You know, then Matthew 16, the Lord was asking the disciples, whom do men say that I am? They said to him, some say you are Elijah, some say you are that, some say you are that. Or one of the prophets said, but who do you say I am? You as a person, you as an individual, if you're the only human on earth, who do you say I am? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said to Peter, no man have revealed it to you. Didn't learn it from anybody, from any church or doctrine, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed it to you. And upon this rock, upon this very foundation of a personal, intimate introduction of Jesus Christ to a person, upon this very rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell, there's nothing the devil can do that can stop it. By that way that Christ has come to make himself so real to me, I have gone through every hell. It can't stop me. It can't. why he spoke to me. I know in whom I have believed. No sickness, no disease, no suffering, no demon, no poverty, no gossip, no blackmail can stop me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And this is where we need to be today. We are in a time where many people's faith are shaking. Get back to the beginning. Remind yourself how it all started. Jesus Christ introduced himself to you. You can imagine why Paul was able to endure every persecution, every stoning, every betrayal, imprisonment, shipwreck, you name it. How could he endure all that? Because he had a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Wow. Just imagine the difference. Imagine the difference. And he says, and they that were with me saw indeed the light, and we are afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise, go into Damascus, and there shall be told thee all things which are appointed for thee to do. This is one thing I love about the Lord Jesus Christ. He already had a plan. He already had a book called Paul or Saul of Tarsus. Everything about Paul, all he would do, all he would serve, how he'd be an apostle, was already written in the book called him, a book with his name written by the finger of God before the world was made. How he'll be converted, where he'll be converted. God already had all the plan. The same way you and me today, no human being on earth is a mistake. You are a spirit being. You came from the Almighty God. Your father and mother didn't give birth to your spirit. They gave birth to your body. You are an immortal spirit. You live forever. God knew you before there was heaven and earth. And he has a plan for your life. And the devil come to pull us away from that plan of God. But God in his infinite mercy, through the gospel of Jesus Christ, through his salvation, he's still able to pull us out of that devil's way and establish us in the path of his purpose and plan and will. From Saul of Tarsus to Apostle Paul. Can you imagine the difference? How far away he was from the will of God for his life. I pray for you, before you die, may it be today that you will say yes to Jesus Christ. And then you begin to read the book that is written of you. You begin to see that God had a plan, that God knew you before there was your mother and father. And you are not here on earth by accident. Wow. I got so much to say here. And look what it says. And it says, and when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt in Damascus, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up and saw him. And he said, the God of our fathers had chosen thee, that you should know his will. And I'm saying to you today, you are hearing this message today, God have chosen you to know his will. And what you are hearing now is in the plan of God to bring you out of the will of the devil, of the flesh, of the world, where you live for yourself, for your friends, for your religion, for your nation, for your tribalism, for whatever you are there, you live for that. It is the way of the world, the way of the Gentile. And it takes us away from the purpose and plan and the will of God for our lives. Only through the gospel of Jesus Christ, by you repenting of your sins, giving your heart to Jesus Christ, can then God begin to unveil to you the plan and the purpose and the will of God for your life, which has been there before the world was made. Who would have told me in this life? I wouldn't have imagined that I could do what God has been using me to do this many years. Now, when you don't know the will of God, when you don't know Christ, you live like a Gentile. You live for different reasons, for different meaning. You pursue things. You pursue material things. You pursue your own ego, your own pride, your honor. You live for the pleasure of people, pleasure of the world. You live for the will of the devil. And you die without light. But when you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and say, Lord Jesus, here I am. Have mercy on me. Forgive my sins. Open my eyes to know you, to see you, and to know your will for my life. From that day, you know, Saul was no more Saul. He became Paul the Apostle, became a witness for Jesus Christ, became the greatest apostle that ever lived. Just imagine the difference between, I've seen prostitutes got saved, totally changed and cleansed up, gamblers, thieves, wicked people, murderers, drug addicts, who used to kill and do terrible evil things. And this gospel hit their heart. Christ changed them. And their eyes opened, and they begin to know and to walk and to be established in the will and purpose and plan for God, for their lives. You are not a mistake on earth. You are here for a purpose. And you must come to that place where you can say, my life, I derive meaning for my life in knowing and doing the will of God. If you will put your life in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, this year could be a great year for you. It could be a different year for you, where the Lord unveils to you day after day, moment after moment, in every situation, the mystery of his will. Because in that will is your life, is your fulfillment, is your hope, is your strength, is your victory over self, is your victory over the flesh, is your victory over sin and temptation, is your victory over demons and devil, is your victory over poverty, over lack, over want, over everything. In that will is life. When you don't walk in God's will, life is an accident. Every day you collapse on people, you collapse on things, you choose this, you fall this, whatever. But that's not the will of God for you. And I pray for you today that you, as you hear this word today, that you will begin to say, Lord God, open my eyes. I want to know and to walk and to be established in your will, in your purpose, in your plan for my life. I am tired of living like an accident, like trying to copy everybody and copy everything. I want to be real. I want to walk in your will for my life. Father, I pray today for all watching, for all hearing your word today. Abba, Father, lay your hands on them now. Draw them to your heart. Fill them with your spirit. Open their eyes to pursue you with passion. Turn them from Saul to Paul, from the unclean to the clean, from the lost to the found, from the blind to the one that see, that they might see your glory and walk in the purpose and plan and will which you have for their lives. Father, rescue them from the power of Satan, from the force of error, from every lying spirit, from every false and unclean traditions, even religious, even moral ways that keep them away from the very purpose and plan of God. Friend, write us today, call and write, and we're going to be able to talk to you and pray with you and help you to be established in the will of God for your life. God bless you and see you again very soon. Praise the Lord.
Jesus came to do one thing, and that is to bring the kingdom of God. The way this is accomplished in our lives is through the gift of salvation. Salvation is a free gift of grace. It means that a person is forgiven and freed from their sin, given a new life, will go to heaven when they die, and will one day be resurrected from the dead when Jesus comes to make all things new. To receive this gift of salvation, there's a couple key things. First, recognize you're a sinner, meaning your life is not aligned with God's purpose for you and that you do things that are wrong and evil, deserving of God's judgment. Second, recognize that you need a Savior, that Jesus died and rose again to forgive and free you from your sins and to give you a new life. Third, turn from your life of sin and believe in Jesus Christ for your salvation. You can pray a prayer like this. Father in heaven, I come before you today to turn from my sins. I recognize that I am a sinner and that I need a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior. I believe he died for my sins and rose again to set me free so I can be in heaven with you when I die and one day rise again like Jesus did. I turn to you, Lord, and I turn from my sins and receive from you a new life. In Jesus' name, amen. For more resources on the next steps to take, check out our website, holyghost.cz, and visit the page New Start under the Seeking God section. Thank you for listening to the Arise and Shine podcast. Our prayer is that it encouraged, instructed, and uplifted you and pointed you to Jesus Christ. For more information about Pastor Festus, Oasis Church, and Holy Ghost End Time Ministries International, visit our website, holyghost.cz. Be blessed.